Our first reading for All Saints comes from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3. It's also the basis of today's sermon. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luther held that the pattern of the Christian life was prayer, meditation, or study, and trial. He was talking about practices that were a key part of his own life, practices that we should probably have as part of our lives, because those trials will come. We can be tossed around by the wind and waves and our ship of faith wrecked in temptation, or we can sail with the one who commands the wind and the waves. But as I did my prayer and study this week, I wasn't thinking about those practices, but a similar pattern. We often learn something, that eureka light bulb goes on, and we become certain of it. And immediately, after that very piece of certainty becomes there, it becomes challenged by something else. Instead of prayer, study, and trial, call it revelation and challenge. The snippet of John's letter is what got me thinking that way. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. That's the initial revelation of the spiritual life. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his only son. We know that we aren't worthy of that. And if we think we are, we're lying to ourselves. But the Father has done this out of pure fatherly divine goodness and mercy. And we can see it. It isn't like the wind, although the Spirit acts in such ways. That cross, we can see. We ourselves might not, but the apostles saw the risen Christ. And we have no reason to doubt their witnesses. We can see it in the sacrament. We saw it last week in a baptism. In those waters, Christ has made us fellow heirs of the kingdom. Around those fonts, whether they be Jordan rivers and full plunges or humble pans and a sprinkling, in those waters we have been called the children of God. In those waters we've been adopted. We can see it and know it. And so we are. Nothing more sure. But then that certainty is immediately challenged. Well, it's just water. It's just a night rite of passage ceremony. The adversary comes around attempting to rip out the seed before it takes root. He attempts to bury and cloud what we saw so clearly. So you think you're a child of God, made from just water. You think that stagnant pool has given you an inheritance? The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Revelation and challenge. That's the pattern of Jesus' life as well. The Magi followed the star, and Herod sent men to kill the innocents. The Baptist dunks Jesus and says, "This one is the Lamb of God." And coming out of those waters, Jesus is thrown into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Jesus performs his miracles. Even the dead are raised. And the chief priests say he's done them by Beelzebub. He rides a donkey into Jerusalem, cleanses the temple, and beats all of the teachers of every school. And by the end of the week, he's on that cross. Revelation and challenge. His sheep know him, and they hear his voice. And they follow. But the world does not recognize him. And because it did not recognize him, the world does not recognize us. In Christ, we see and we know the love of the Father. In Christ, we've been made heirs of the kingdom. And so we are. but the world's, until the very second it is done away with, will deny and challenge that truth. So Satan is active challenging, and the world is active challenging, but it isn't just those two. It can also be our own sinful flesh. Beloved, we are God's children now. And we are. We have the promise of God Himself, given in those waters, given in the body and blood, sealed with the water and the blood that flowed from His pierced side. We are now part of that communion of all saints. Even when we are poor, when we mourn, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness that we can't see, the kingdom is ours. We shall be comforted. We shall be satisfied in Christ. Because we are God's children now. But what we will be has not yet appeared. We continue to struggle with this body and life. The very things we want to do, we don't. The things we don't want to do, we do. We lose temper at people who don't deserve it. We give in to sloth. We are fearful of what is to come. What will we wear? What will we eat? How will we pay the bills? What we will be has not yet appeared. We know that we will be like Him, but sometimes it seems so far away. Sometimes the challenges to our faith come from within our own selves. We are God's children now. But not yet has it fully appeared. So today, we live by faith. We lean into those promises attached to those things that we see. We trust in that great cloud of witnesses, from universal ones, say the Virgin Mary, to personal, like those close knights of faith who taught and encouraged us along the way. When the fight is fierce and the warfare long, steals on the ear that distant triumph song. When the weakness comes from us, the word comes from outside of us. We shall see Him as He is. When He appears, we shall be like Him. Clothed in that resurrection body. Even though this flesh will fail, in my flesh I will see Him. In the midst of that great multitude, I will see Him. This is our hope. That's the Christian hope. And because we hope, we don't give in to the devil. Or the world, or even our own weary flesh. We don't let that challenge win. We step out into the midst of that challenge, knowing that God has us, that He controls the wind and the waves, knowing that nothing that those great enemies can do to us will cancel our adoption in Christ, because the Father loves us. So we purify ourselves as He is pure. We live in the now, even if at times it might not feel just yet. We live by faith when the doubts come. We live in hope while the world despairs. We live as all saints do, calling upon the name of the Lord in every trouble, because his steadfast love endures forever. Praising his name, because his steadfast love endures forever. And giving thanks for his name, which we all bear, because his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.